Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Here we are.
Here once we are again.
Angela's Awesome Podcast.
Welcome, everybody.
Coming from sunny Sun Valley, Idaho.
Sunny, but cold.
Did you see my daffodils on the way in?
No.
So not only are they a foot tall, but like two or three of them bloomed.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it was over last weekend. And,
wow.
And then it got cold this week, of course. So now they're going like, WTF.
Yes, as we all are.
Like, what happened? I came out for the sun and now it's cold again.
I know. It's still sunny, but
it's okay.
It's the way it goes. It feels like it's taking a step back to winter. It was 36 this morning or colder.
It was in 11. The 20s yesterday.
Yeah.
Which was a little shocking because it was actually, like you said, in the 30s the last few days.
Which would be totally fine and absolutely is fine, except for that it's been toasty. So now we're all like...
Yeah, you get pulled out of your I'm used to winter.
I mean,
I've actually been wearing sandals and things.
And
that was not happening today with the wind chill.
Yeah.
How's your week?
My week has been good. How's my week? Good. Everything's... just rolling right along. How about you?
Well, let's see. First workout yesterday. It's been, 3 weeks since I did one? So not to mention still not feeling well.
Yeah.
But I was amazed at how sore I was. Like it hit me last night.
Yeah.
And usually it's easily the next day or sometimes even skips a day. So when I felt it last night, I'm like, I am so screwed.
Yeah.
But it was so good. I'm so happy I did it.
It was good to be back. I hope everybody else is sore too. I'm really sore in my abs. Yeah.
If not mentally, like it was a big deal for me to get up that early, get there and do it to get myself back mentally into my two a week, even if physically I'm not up to it.
Yeah.
Which actually kind of leads into our topic for today.
Oh, it sure does. It does a little bit. You guys, we're back to talking about energy.
And let's see how...
We took a little time out last week for the liver flush.
Yes. And hey, how cool was it that you know, I told you yesterday that Jeannie went out and bought the book.
Oh yeah, Health at Every Size. Jeannie!
Yeah.
Woo! We're so happy. We want to hear what you think of it once you start reading it.
We should actually maybe even have her on.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that Skype would be really cool. Skype in.
Get the opinion.
Yeah.
You guys can gang up on me.
Get her take on it.
Now I'm really, I would want to say thank you, Jeannie, because we really hemmed and hawed about putting that episode out. And I'm so glad we did.
I am too.
If it, you know, got someone to look into something new. So
if you guys missed that episode, that was two episodes ago. And that was the episode where the big disagreement. Oh, Henno's adjusting my microphone so I sound even more melodious in your ears. That was the episode with the creative editing because
get ready to rumble.
Yeah, we had a little disagreement, but that was the episode talking about health at every size.
It's the episode's called Fit or Fat or something like that. I can't remember what I called it.
I can't remember what you called it. You're very good at naming these things, by the way. I just want to say.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's really fun whenever you get them posted and I find out what we've named it.
It just comes to me while I'm editing.
No, it's great.
So. What I do is I go to your blog sometimes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the information that you bring in for the podcast is different than the blog.
Right.
Or you have additional stuff. So sometimes something jumps out a little more than the other. So So we first did a general energy
episode. Yes, kind of an overall mind-body nutrition, psychology, dynamic psychology of eating principle.
And then we did a food thing, right?
Then we went into some specific physical
stuff. That's
physical tweaks that you can do. We talked about being able to increase and up your digestion to help with fatigue, right?
That's right.
And so that was slow down with eating and. Increase the quality of your food so your body can get the nutrition it wants more readily. So we did a little chit chat about that. So that was some physical tips. And now we're moving back into energy. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about this week in preparing this is, you know, it is so typical to, when something's not working as well as we want it to work, to look first in the physical realm. Like, what should I not be eating? What should should I be eating? Do I need a supplement? You know, do I need to drink more water?
As far as solutions go.
So, and that makes sense. I mean, that seems to be the more readily available. That's the thing that certainly is advertised to us. That's what people are trying to sell us.
Well, that's like, what do? We feel tired. Oh, I need to drink some coffee.
Right.
Yeah, it's our normal
an energy
thing.
Drink. Yeah. Or, you know.
We don't actually, and it's funny because you were just saying that we'll do an episode on water.
Yeah.
Because if you get tired, one of the best things you can do for yourself is actually
it's
go get a big
water.
Glass of water.
I know. And what do you want to? You want to drink coffee or, an energy
it's
drink.
It's so funny.
Or whatever.
We are kind of trained.
Totally. Huh. And we're also trained, I mean, not just when it comes to energy, but also with, you know, in general, like, I'm feeling constipated. I need a pill. I need to eat something. I need to do something else. We're going to start in the physical realm. We're not necessarily going to look at the emotional realm, the spiritual realm, the soul lesson realm, which could be contributing to what's manifesting in our body physically.
I just want to make a point that I wasn't the first one to bring up poop this episode.
You know, I know. It's sort of been on my brain because of the liver flush and the colonics. And I actually went on a hike today with one of my really good friends, and she's super into the colonics too. And she's like, I don't think anyone else talks about poop like we do. I'm like, I doubt it. But you just, once you're in it so much, you just don't even think about it. But, you know, looking at, if we were talking about something like being constipated, you know, there are certainly physical things that you could do. And there was also emotional and spiritual things that would go along with that. Like, for example, undigested life experiences, holding on to things.
Unfinished
that kind of
business.
Thing.
That's just, my favorite phrase.
That's just not where we normally start, but it can be a powerful place to work. And bringing it back to energy, when it comes to energy, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, a lot of times there are quite a number of emotional or spiritual lessons that fatigue is asking us to look at, to learn, to experience, to change. And you can only go so far with physical tweaks.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. I mean, certainly, especially if you're experiencing, you know, dramatic fatigue, you should definitely do the medical route. Rule out things like Lyme's or, you know, autoimmune, you know, diseases or anything like that. That's certainly called for and appropriate and correct. But once you have done the medical intervention route and you have cleaned up your diet and you're still experiencing fatigue, at that point, this kind of stuff is powerful. And let's say you're not even really experiencing fatigue, so to speak, but you would just like to have more energy. This is a powerful place
more
motivation, more inspiration. We kind of discussed that. We talked about how maybe it's not necessarily that we need more motivation. We just need to feel more energy, and then we're going to feel more likely to do the things that we want to do. So we're going to talk about a couple of ideas. There's a lot of these, so we could podcast on this for a couple months, I think. But for today, we're going to talk about...
What would happen?
Well, maybe. I don't know. I just think energy is so interesting. And I think I just have never really looked at it this way. I just think it's kind of what's up for me. So I think
that's part of the reason why it's so interesting. Me 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I have looked at this.
Yeah.
And I have my own take on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good. We're going to hear some more of your take today. So
not the fact that anything's ever stopped me.
Yeah, right. And this is interesting because this little tweak has two sides, and we're going to talk about both sides of the coin, but maybe neither one will land for you or resonate, but...
I actually think there's three.
Oh, really? Okay, good. Yeah. This is going to be fun. So... we're going to talk about saying yes, basically. We're going to talk about stepping up and doing things. Yes, exactly like that. And that may seem a little counterintuitive because a lot of the podcasts we've done have dealt with doing less and slowing down. And we did a podcast on being really busy. And now here we are saying you need to step up and say yes. But sometimes what can happen when you start feeling fatigue or lack of energy, it's because you're in a rut and you're kind of bored and you're kind of like, yeah, whatever. And you're not really putting yourself out there.
Yep.
So one.
Where's my? That's it.
There it is.
Meh.
One more.
Meh.
Which is very different from.
But in the same energy field.
Somewhat, yeah.
Okay. So saying yes. So some examples of saying yes would be, I was thinking of some things that would be yes. And this is actually something that I kind of go through sometimes because I tend to get into a slump sometimes. And I like spending a lot of time alone and downtime. So sometimes I'll be like, no, I don't want to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And sometimes you just need to say, yes, I'm going to go meet you at, you know, for dinner, you know, even though I have an early morning tomorrow. Yes, I'm going to go hang out with, my girlfriend's in town. I'm going to play all weekend. Yes, I'm going to go to that concert, even though it's in Salt Lake City and it's a long drive. Yes, I'm going to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, other ways that you could maybe that you maybe life may be calling you to say yes is maybe you need to learn something new.
That's what I, with my Spanish classes,
yeah.
It made a huge difference. And there's a big, the instructor provided us this article on when, as people get older, that trying to learn a new language can stimulate your brain in ways that you had no idea. And it was true.
Yeah.
I mean, it fired off. It was frustrating.
Right.
At first.
Right.
However,
now you like it.
Yeah, and there was huge rewards in the process in doing the actual work.
Yeah.
That I just felt like things were getting fired up. It was even creatively in my mind. So, that's one that I, you know.
Yeah, and I think that it should, and if you're thinking about learning something new, it should be something that you're interested in. I mean,
don't classes
make
or whatever.
Yourself do something. Like I would, I would be. I'm not signing up for a language class. I'm barely dealing with the Sanskrit in yoga teacher training because that's just not my thing.
But that applies to you. That's
but I am
great.
Learning something new. I'm learning how to be a yoga teacher and so I'm deepening my practice with yoga. So it's just a
language,
different, and I'm
learning,
I'm somewhat dragging my feet, but I'm trying to learn Sanskrit. And it comes to the yoga poses, not like to speak it or whatever. But so anything like that, if you're, you know, being called to learn something new. And the thing that I was thinking about today when I was thinking about learning something new is, you know, you really don't have to invest a lot of money to learn something new. Like there's amazing resources that are it seems like everybody has free resources online of all kinds of things.
Well, whatever, you know, every town has that local paper,
right?
That in the back it has events.
Right.
And we hardly ever look at them and you look in there and it'll be, you know, at the community library on blah, blah, blah day,
right.
they'll be doing a class or a course or even maybe somebody's giving a talk on a book at your local bookstore.
Right.
And you go there and you get a little mind blown.
Right. Right. Totally. I mean, if you want to learn something more obscure, you can always just Google it. And, you know, there's online communities. There's just all kinds of resources. So like, and then sometimes you may want to throw some money at it and take like a full on course of something. And then that can also manifest into, you know, a second job or a hobby that pays something, you know, who knows? It's just learning, being open for something new and stepping out. And,
well, the one thing that I think I mentioned it before, but in, there's one surefire cure for breaking ego, and ego is the thing that makes me sit on the couch because I deserve this because I had such a hard day that I don't need to do all these other things that I should be doing because I deserve to sit on the couch. You know, that is actually a form of ego is by creating new routines and following through with them, that is breaking ego.
That is a very interesting way to look at it. I can say that I don't totally agree with that, but that is an interesting take on it.
It's a little psychological.
Sometimes when I sit on the couch, I'm just tired.
No, I know. Yeah. But there's something about.
And my ego, actually, when I'm sitting on the couch, my ego is saying, you should be doing something more productive. That's how my ego works.
Well, no, because
like everybody else in the whole planet is out doing yoga again or out doing something productive. And here you are sitting on the couch.
Well,
you loser.
Sense of self. Sense of self and entitlement is our justification for not doing something maybe we feel that we should be doing instead. You know what I mean? So like, or especially if it might be with other people or might be furthering a goal of yours or something that right. you planned out, and that by doing small routines, any type of a routine, like, you know, we've talked about even like a daily reading or a blah, blah, blah,
right.
is a way to break that down, because your sense of self says, I don't need, you know. Anyhow, it's an interesting way to look at it.
It
really,
my sense of self sometimes says I need to stay busy all the time, and so it's kind of the opposite for me. Like if I actually am like surrendering to sitting on the couch, it's because I'm letting go of doing more, which is I have the disease of more. I need to do more. I need to be more. I have to, otherwise I'm not worthy. And if I just, you know, stop and rest, then, you know, well. Maybe, but only for 30 minutes. You know what I mean?
No, like, I totally
sometimes
get that.
It's
yeah.
called for. So that's
right.
Good.
That's
so
that, that's that subconscious way of, yeah. Like if you're a, if you're an overworker or you tend to do too much.
Yeah.
Actually, which that's our next part.
Right.
But anyhow.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I like looking at it that way.
Okay.
That's a different thing.
You know, we actually, there's a way that this applies to the yes.
Yeah.
And there's a way that it applies to the opposite.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Cool.
All right. So let's think of some other things that people might say yes to. So we're talking about doing something new. You could also be possibly saying yes to, bringing new friends, new people. I mean, sometimes we get stuck into a certain group of friends and they're doing things the same old way, and maybe they're not lighting up and not whatever, and we feel this sense of maybe displaced loyalty or whatever, and I don't really know that person, so I'm not gonna, you know. And sometimes just reaching out and being like, hey, let's go have coffee with someone that you're an acquaintance with can be a way of mixing it up, doing something new.
Not to mention, it's typically a big stretch for us to do that.
Right. You I know, mean, we kind of like, get...
To like pick up the phone or send the email or whatever and say, you know, to somebody that you've never actually sat down, maybe had a conversation with, let's maybe you see them at the gym and you work out and occasionally exchange whatever it is or so, and you say, hey, would you like to go out and, you know, have a drink after work? Would you like to go, you know, grab a cup of coffee and actually get to know somebody?
Right.
Can be a very enlightening experience.
And new and fresh and energizing, really, you know?
And you never know, maybe end up with a new hiking buddy or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you maybe, you know, especially, cool. you know, if this, some of this stuff, you're like, oh, you know, especially if what's happening with you right now feels a little stale.
Yeah, like when if you're just in a rut.
I mean, if you're feeling great and you got your thing going on, then I wouldn't worry about it. But, it, you know,
if
that's
you're
just
in a rut,
some, yeah, if you're, it's interesting. And I, that actually has happened. I have a couple of new friends that I, you know, randomly ended up doing some things outside of my, and that's like, great.
That's cool.
You know, it feels good. Yeah, it's really good. Okay, so what else did I write down on here? I said volunteering is another thing you could do. You know, that would be great. You know, I find with my, you know, if you're in a significant relationship, date night, like when, you know, it's good to do date night.
Send the kids to grandma's house.
That's right.
Send our kids to the groomer.
Downstairs. By the way, we have canines. We wouldn't do that to our human kids. Although maybe we would.
You never know.
That's probably why we have canines.
I just heard Neil and Annalise talking about they don't have children. They have canine kids too. And they talk about their bad choices that, you know, well, like they had to say goodbye to one of their special four-legged friends, you know, and it was horrible. And they were joking about it yesterday on a podcast that I was listening to, and they were talking about, and if we did that with our actual children too, which is why we now only have dogs, you know. Bad life choices.
Very bad. Bad humor. Bad.
It was dark, but it was funny.
You know, Rob and I did this spring where our workout partner, Heidi, she was talking about that little cabin up at Redfish Lake that you can only rent in the winter. So it's like Redfish Lake is about an hour north of Sun Valley, and there's a little cabin, and you have to like walk in 2 miles dragging all your stuff.
Really?
Yeah, there's no...
Where is that?
There's electricity, but there's no running water. It's right on Redfish Lake. It's right... It's like the lookout for forest fires during the summer.
Oh, okay.
It's literally... just down the beach. It's right on Dog Beach, if you know where Dog Beach is.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
So I was like, and she's like, you and Rob should go. You can take the dogs.
Huh, that's
and
cool.
This was like in the middle of the winter, and I was like, oh, I got to drag all our stuff in there. And we go up there all the time in the summer, and it's beautiful here. Like, why do we need to go up there and drag all our stuff in?
So you can...
Yeah.
But it was something new. And yeah, so I said to Rob, cool. I said, let's do it. And then there was no weekends available. The whole thing had been rented out. So I was like, well, it's spring break. Let's just take off 3 days for the week.
That's it.
And go for 2 nights. So we, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. The dogs loved it. We loved it. It was totally, anyway, it was something new. It was something out of my comfort zone. I don't like camping. It wasn't really camping, but it's as close to camping as I pretty much get.
Not a camper, huh?
An outhouse.
Who knew?
Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. My idea of camping. So when I used to, so my husband, Rob, is really into climbing. He loves it. He's only been doing it for a few years, but he's super into it. And he's such a gearhead that he's actually, and he knows all the routes. Like, he's super into it. And I climbed with him a little bit at the beginning of his climbing career. And then we'd go to the City of Rocks and we would camp. Well, hello, that's like a tent and setting everything up, and it's dirty, and then you have to like heat up your water, and oh my God. It's
hey,
just...
at least it wasn't on the side of a rock somewhere in a tent.
So anyway, so we started, so that didn't last very long, and then we had a friend that had a place in Oakley, which is right outside of the City of Rocks, and so we would stay there. It was a bit of a drive, but we were like showering and all that. So I was like, this is my idea of camping. So it's like my idea of camping is a hotel or a cabin by the lake. Yeah, I'm a princess, and I am not apologizing for it. Okay, so back to the podcast, something new. Okay, so here was another thing that I think is interesting about trying something new is I think you can also get in a rut with your exercise program. Like if you're a steady exercise person and you have this set routine where you're always doing X amount of miles on the treadmill or the body pump class or blah, 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 whatever, and you're feeling pretty stale, like maybe it's time to shake it up and try something new. And that can be a scary thing for people. It certainly was a scary thing for me when I started feeling this pull to do something different. And I started getting pulled into doing more yoga because then I was like, well, okay, I'm going to do yoga and I really love yoga, but I got to make sure I still get my 5 mile run in first, or I got to make sure I get my weight training in first. And like lately, the more I do yoga, the more I'm like, okay, I can be good with just doing yoga.
Yeah.
You know, just because I like it so much and I just don't need to do the other, but I was kind of attached to this idea of who I was and what that did for me, and I'm in this X amount of shape because I do these many workouts. So I think that that kind of stuckness can lead to fatigue too.
Yeah, and that idea, like if you just do yoga and you still feel good,
yeah,
then
yeah, or you know, you might be like, you know what, I'm gonna just do a couple weeks of walking,
yeah,
or just hiking, or you know, who knows? I mean, it just depends. I mean, and maybe you're only doing yoga and you're like, God, I would really like to go take that kettlebell class.
Yeah.
I want to go try CrossFit or I want to
try Pilates.
Yeah.
If you've never done Pilates before, it was so hard. The best part was, this is when Teresa was still, I miss Teresa so much, when she was still over at Zenergy and she did a Pilates. When we do a gig, I'll trade. So I'll take classes or something. Yeah. And so I always try to do something I wouldn't ordinarily do. So
yeah.
I talked to Teresa about, she did that stretching kind of stuff ISO stretching, but I said, you know, can we do a half Pilates, half stretching? And so we did that, and it turns out in the process, because I'm just like whining like crazy. It's like, this is so hard. And she was telling me she worked, I guess, in Seattle for a while, and she had football players. They were coming in to do Pilates. I don't know if they were pro or college. I think it was at the college level. And she said, you've never ever seen a bigger group of babies than a bunch of big, tough, weightlifting football players coming in to do Pilates.
Because you get comfortable with what you're good at.
Exactly.
And you know, this again might not be something that's calling for you, but you know, it can go both ways. You can be, maybe it's good for you to do less or something that's, and I think it's always when it comes to moving your body and movement, it's important to do things that you really love. Like if you're on a workout routine or a workout schedule and you're really dreading them, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be like every morning, like, oh my God, I can't wait to do that workout. But you should feel like that at least a little bit most of the time. I mean, it shouldn't be like, every single time, because that kind of response is going to only lead to more fatigue, and it's going to lead to the stress response, and it's really not going to get you the full benefits.
Yeah.
There's just no point in doing it that way.
And it may not, and it's probably not physical, it's probably mental, and it could be from boredom. Like one of the things, especially for me as someone that, you know, I do go work out alone.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love about doing your class and what I do is that's how I get Karen to come back to, I say, hey, if you've been doing your same routine in the gym, go to a circuit training class, go to another class, go to a new gym and pay for a class.
Right.
You will undoubtedly do something new or do something you'd forgotten about.
Right.
And bring it into your routine and refresh yourself.
Right. And if you want to talk about strength training too, I mean, another great idea. I am big on this. I get on the internet every once in a while and just look up for new stuff just to get new ideas, like who's doing what and what are some other ideas. But
I just make them up in my head.
If you're always doing the same thing, your body gets kind of used to it. So you're really not going to get the ultimate results as if you're shaking it up and you're doing different things. So do a different length, do a different different type of workout. You can always hire a trainer and be like, you know, I'm going to invest.
There's another one. Yeah.
I'm going to invest in, you know, 6 weeks of training with you once a week. I want you to give me new stuff and I'm going to, you know, create some new routines, that kind of idea. One of the things I was looking at online, now I'm obsessed with yoga, but there was a blog about this guy who does Ashtanga, which is, there's a primary series, which is like a 2-hour yoga. It's intense. It's a set series. Like you do the same poses, you know, until you master them, which easily takes years. And then there's the secondary and third series. But he was talking about how he did it. He was doing the third series, which is insane. There's all these handstands and jump throughs and cool stuff. But he did the whole series in like an hour and 15 minutes. So he wasn't holding the poses as long. And then he did the exact same series and he took 3 hours when it normally takes 2. And he basically made it half the time.
3 hours.
Right. And he just lengthened everything out just to have a different experience. And I was like, you know what? That's cool. That's like, what a good idea. Like go on a run and do interval training or do, you know, 2 miles less and go faster, or do 2 miles more and go slower, or same thing with your weightlifting routine. Instead of doing intervals for 30 seconds, do them for a minute. If you're always doing a minute, do it for 2 minutes. You know what I mean? So just mixing it up is a good idea and can help break the staleness and can give you some energy.
Yeah.
And if you're really feeling stale, you can always, just like Hannah was talking about, find a group, find a partner, find a new friend, find somebody to do it with you. But try something different, especially you guys that live in the city. If there's anybody that lives in this, you know, there's all kinds of.
Well, we've talked about throw money at it a lot. And that's why I think it's good to do that, is because, A, it changes our level of commitment.
It does.
It does.
It's true.
If you put the money into a trainer.
Totally. You're going to show up. You're going to be all about it. You're going to be.
You're going to maybe actually do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, that's why I like the Spanish class. I mean, if it was like a $30 community education, I probably would have blown it off.
But right.
Because it was like $140. I was like, you're going.
You're
to
in.
This.
You're invested. Yeah. And I like that. So, so those are some ideas on doing some new things. And those things can help with the energy. So, basically, you know, ask yourself, I mean, I think one of the ways for me when it comes to like, what should I do? Like we're giving you guys a bunch of ideas. Like if you can just spend some time, a couple days, a couple minutes, a couple days in a row, 3 or 4, you know, whatever, just put it out to the universe, your intention that you want, that you're like, okay, I do need to be open to something new. And what would that be? And then just kind of be open for if something comes, you know, because oftentimes if we put that message out, like, you're right, I am kind of stuck. I don't know. My workouts are good. I feel really good about my friendships. What else could I do? What else would I be interested in? And then sure enough, something will land. Like you'll get an email about this blah, 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 you know, or you'll whatever. And it'll land. It'll give you an idea and then go for it. And
I like your questions here.
Oh, yeah. So I put on the questions. What would light me up?
You know, and here's a pen to paper.
Oh, yeah. Pen to paper is also super great. Write this I agree down. With that. Yeah.
And now we're not talking about exercise here. We're just talking about what would light you up in general.
I mean, we've been talking about like starting something new, taking classes. Maybe it's in your exercise. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a new friendship. Maybe it's letting go of an old friendship. Maybe it's reconnecting with an old friend.
I mean, this could just even
taking
be
a road trip.
Yeah. This could be a dream. This could be a vision for yourself.
Totally.
Write down what would light you up. And I like the second one. What am I scared of, but kind of sort of want to do?
Yeah, right.
We all have those.
Right.
You know, we talk about them a lot with our friends. We're like, you know, I've always kind of wanted to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, write them down.
Yeah.
You know, because maybe on the piece of paper, it's going to, you know, you're going to go, you know what? I really want to do that.
You know, what's interesting is one of the case studies in my education from Mark David, who is the founder and director of the Institute for the Psychology of Eating, where I have my coaching certificate from. He was talking about this client that she had some pretty major health stuff, and she was definitely dealing with fatigue. And we're not talking about, like, she definitely had some very, like, she had some physical problems that were leading to fatigue. But he and so they were working on a physical level, but he was also like, okay, let's start looking at this other level. And she used to work with, volunteer with young women who were having problems. And she was like, you know, I am exhausted. There is no way that I can go back to doing that. And he was insistent.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He was like, listen, I'm not asking you to do a lot. I'm not asking, you know, I'm not trying to load more on your plate. But he's like, once a week, I want you to meet with one person for an hour. I want you to help one of these gals that you used to help. I want you to step back into it. And the thing is that through that coaching and that encouragement to actually put something else on her plate, even when she's exhausted, it actually gave her more energy because she was giving back and it was something that she loved doing. I mean, it made her feel really good. She was giving her time. She, you know, whatever. So it is interesting how this can be counterintuitive. Like if you're dealing with fatigue and you're really tired and we're telling you to do something else, but it has to be the appropriate amount. And we're definitely not talking about making you busier if you're already really busy. That's not what we're trying to say. There is a difference. And as with everything, just like we were talking about with the couch, it seems like there's almost always two sides to the coin. Like there's two ways to look at this stuff and it's not going to be appropriate for everybody. I mean, when I first started dealing with energy issues and when my energy started changing in my 40s, like I honestly needed to take things off my plate. Like I did not need to say yes to other things, but I've kind of now taken it to the extreme. And I tend to, when I'm going to say yes to something, it tends to be about something for work. So it's really important for me to remember that, okay, I'm going to stay balanced and we're going to rent a cabin at Redfish Lake and take 3 days off from work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go on a hike today with someone that I don't see very often that I really like, but I'm not super tight with. You know, those types of things. So it's finding the balance and it's life. I mean, you're just navigating and these are just some ideas.
Yeah. Like one of the things can be is if you're always doing stuff with other people or you're always doing stuff with your kids.
Right.
That type of thing, go do something for yourself.
By yourself.
You know, which can also be
great
a
idea,
good thing.
Right?
Even doing a little trip by yourself.
Yeah. Which is what you just did.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it that's helpful too.
Yeah.
You know, you touched on it a little bit, and this is where I think there's three, is sometimes, and this is what I experienced, I was in a funk. I felt really low motivation. I had things I knew I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I had things that I needed to do.
Right.
But I was really having a hard time getting myself actually, you know,
doing
step
them.
One and doing them.
Yeah.
And rather than getting down on myself, rather than getting depressed about it, rather than letting it build up, you know, beat myself up over it, I decided to just be with it and wait until it came. That can be a very difficult thing for someone. Like I've always been overly busy. I'm usually, I mean, since I was a kid, I was the kid that did too much. Mm-hmm. My mom has always said that to me. You know, I'm always taking on too many things, you know? And so it was good for me to actually be okay with being in a state of flux or, you know, this in-between phase.
Right.
And to just be okay with it and allow that new thing to come in or wherever the motivation was going to be. And so sometimes sometimes that can be a solution as well.
Agreed.
Especially if it's difficult.
Right.
You know, because I was like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to be okay with this. I'm going to wait until and just allow it to happen. And then it did, which was great.
And I think that's, I agree with that 100%. I think that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And I think that that is a, I think that's one of the hardest things for people.
It's it really
certainly, is. It's really hard for me. Like, I feel like that that sense of I don't know which way to go, I'm just gonna pick a way and go. It's hard when you're like, oh, I'm just gonna sit here and pause. Like that can be tricky. So, and I think that I agree with you. I think it's a smart place to be. And I also think, especially if you're unsure and unclear, and you are someone who tends to kind of just bulldoze through life, it's not a bad thing. I mean, I think in general, for a lot of people, and definitely for me, it's important to just go slower in life in general. Like, just, you don't have to decide that this second. I mean, I get into such a frenzy, like, we've got to figure this out right now.
Yeah, especially when we're coming off of a major life change.
Yeah.
Whether it's a relationship, a job, or something like that.
Those things can drain your energy.
Nobody wants to be uncomfortable. Mm-mm. We tend to try to blot that out.
Absolutely.
However,
eat something, work,
drink,
get on the computer,
whatever it is, our isms, retail therapy.
Yes.
We don't want to be in ourselves.
Yeah. It's hard. Yeah.
One of the best practices in the world for future life changes is to be okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
To be okay with being in a place where, you know, don't try to bury it. Don't try to hide it.
Yeah.
Just be okay with it, because guess what? It's going to happen again. And if you can get okay with it once, you can get okay with it again. Because my experience is when I try to avoid that, I jump into something too soon. I tend to make bad decisions that my intuition told me probably wasn't the right thing to do.
Right.
You know, that.
But if you're going at the speed of light, you don't hear your intuition.
Exactly. And that's why to stop and to learn, okay, to be okay with this, to give it time, to don't like, oh, here's something I can go do.
Yeah.
Like, well, all right, wait a minute. Just because that's the first thing that came along doesn't mean it's the thing I should be doing,
right,
you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah, but this is going to make me feel better now.
Right.
Well, anyway.
No, I agree. That's a good one. I'm glad you brought that up. I think that's a really good point. I also think, you know, and then if you do jump into something and it doesn't feel like a good fit, you can always change your mind and go back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a big fan of being like, you can change your mind. Even if you've thrown money at it, if you want to, you can still change your mind and then lesson learned.
Yeah. Except when you've just, you know, invited the new guy you've been dating to come and live with you. And, you know, that's sometimes not so easy to change your mind.
It's not so easy, but if you need to and you want to, you still can.
You should, yes.
You still can. I mean, yes, sometimes it's been, that's sometimes why we wouldn't change our mind, because we don't want to put someone else out or whatever. But you know what? Sometimes we're people, and sometimes we're going to make mistakes, and we need to be able to change our mind. I mean, that's on the codependence declaration of like promises is one of the things is it says, and this is so interesting. I mean, you would think that this is a no brainer, but it says, I have the right to change my mind. And that when I remember when I read that the first time, when I thought, I do, because sometimes I've thought like, well, I committed 3 years
ago
that I was going to be on this committee and I have to keep doing it. And it's like, you know what?
No,
you don't. I mean, you have to be as responsible as possible cleaning it up and finishing it up and getting out of it, extracting yourself. But you can change your mind if you want to.
And part of that process is being clear and just coming in and being honest and saying, okay, I've done enough.
Yeah.
I'm now going to step away.
Yeah.
And it's just from, you know, I have other things I'd like to concentrate on or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's people have a hard time doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And they want
that's where I think the ego gets involved. Like I it's who I am. Yeah. I follow through.
Yeah. Or they run, or what happens is a lot of people, and this is what I did when I was young, I just ran away.
Right. Oh,
I didn't explain anything.
Too.
I wasn't clear about the fact that I'm changing
the
rules.
I've done that a couple times.
Yeah, really?
I know. That's how I ended up in Ketchum.
But this, I think, leads us to the second side of the coin.
Okay. So the other side of the coin for energy is, the other side of the coin is to say, sometimes what we need to do is say, nope, thank you very much, but I'm going to totally pass. And that is something we need to do, because if we're someone who's always saying yes, it's particularly if it's coming from a place of people pleasing.
Exactly.
People pleasing, people pleasing, people pleasing. What are people going to think of me? I want everybody to like me. This is what people want from me. that can be very draining.
Especially when you get into it and now you're like, I really didn't want to do this. Yep. Or now you've taken on too much.
Yep.
And now you're in that place where you don't feel like you can change your mind.
Yep.
And hello, master of that.
Yep.
You know, I used to say yes to way too much. And then I would have all these things that I'm supposed to do, but they're killing me. And my fatigue and my motivation goes down.
And that's a serious energy drain.
Yeah, bad attitude, everything, you know.
Yeah. So you're talking about this already, but one way to identify if possibly this is something you need to say no to is to check your motivation. Like if the word should is involved in it, it's a big blinking yellow light of caution. This may be something you need to reevaluate. The should. I should. This is what I should do to be a good wife. This is what I should do to be a good son, daughter. This is what I should do to be a good friend. Yada, yada, yada. Shoulds can be a problem.
Yep.
So that's a great, so your motivation and the other piece of motivation, you know, what your motivation is if it's coming from, well, this person's going to think poorly of me, or I'm going to be letting this person down, or blah, blah, blah. Those things can be very, very draining.
Well, and I know a lot of it's just me having done a lot of work on my intuition and allowing that to come out.
Right.
Is that if I'm ever asked to do something and my first real initial reaction is kind of like, but I agree to it.
Yeah.
It was probably not a good thing for me to do.
Right.
If it all of a sudden hits me like, oh, wow. Wow, this came along right at the right time.
Right.
That's different.
Right.
But I was always the person that was like, oh, well, I don't want to disappoint somebody. Right. So I say, well, let me think about it.
Yeah.
Which thinking about it was just basically, putting off the yes.
Right.
Because the minute I said, well, let me think about it is me saying, well, I'm going to weigh how much I feel obligated to, know what I mean? To do something that I really shouldn't do.
Right.
And
it is important, I think, to say that, you know, we both, I think I can speak for you on this, that we both believe in being of service.
Yes.
And doing things for other people.
Yes.
And giving back to people, to the planet, to whatever. But I believe in my heart that, honestly, you can find ways to give, to be of service that completely and totally honor you and don't drain you. And those things can feel really good. Like, being of service doesn't have to feel like, oh, I have to go do this.
Well, it shouldn't.
It
really shouldn't. Because and saying no is a practice.
It is a practice.
So speaking of service, the first time I was asked to be involved with one of our recovery quote unquote conventions.
Yeah.
And it was because of music and stuff. They asked me if I'd be involved with the entertainment. And I just said, thank you for asking, but no, thank you.
Great.
It was the hardest thing to do right there on the spot, to not say, well, let me think about it, and then dread that I said, let me think about it. I just came out and just said, no.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If a day later I thought about it and I went, you know what, I probably should do this, I could go back to that person, then they probably say, oh, cool, you know, come back, you know, we'll find a spot for you or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it was that just saying, you know, no, I really don't think I'd be able to do that.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
That is great. This is so funny because this is another thing where you and I are exactly the opposite, because my big thing is if I am able to say, I need to let you know, I need a day to think about it, then I have enough space to be able to get to the right answer. Like if I try to answer on the spot, I usually end up saying yes or no, and I can't figure it out. Like for me, it's always, one of the tools that I've learned to help me get to the point where I can decide if this is healthy for me is I need to say, I'll get back to you. Like if I have to make the decision in the split second, like I don't know. I sometimes just don't know. Like I'll be like, and I'll end up saying either yes or no and regretting whichever one I picked. Like I have better luck.
See,
I appreciate being asked so much. I need a day to think about it. Or, you know, I'll be like, I need to run it by Rob, or I need to run it by somebody because sometimes I really
it's
do.
It's about timing or scheduling.
Especially, and it kind of depends on how big of a commitment it is.
Yeah.
But, Like, that's the one thing, like, I try not to just say yes or just say no right out of the gate. I try to be like, well, I'm going to get back. Let me get back to you.
The reason I decided to start doing that is because I tend to then hem and haw too much afterwards, right, and drag it out.
I can see that. And that's a drain.
Well, and I'm also doing a disservice to the other person.
Right.
And now I'm bringing that guilt on myself. Oh, right. Well, I said I'd think about it and I haven't given them an answer and blah, blah, blah. Now yeah. I'm taking this on. And what does that do? It puts me into a funk.
Yeah.
It puts me into avoidance. It puts me into that situation where
I usually put myself in it. Like, I will tell you, I will call you
deadline.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
I will let you know tomorrow. I need one day
to
think about
that's it. That's good at least, you know, because, and that's why I like that idea of at least being somewhat definitive, because I just know myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, both ways work. I mean, it's good because it's perfect that we have two different ways of doing it that work, you know, because everybody has a different thing that's going to be helpful, that they're going to find helpful, you know, because people are wired differently. I think one of the places where it's really hard to say no, and I think it's sometimes appropriate and sometimes maybe it's not, but I think it can be really hard when it comes down to family things.
Oh yeah.
You know, like,
totally.
You know, holidays you know, whatever it is around family.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I think that there's some funny stuff about that. Like, if you're blood, like, you pretty much need to sell your soul if that's what that's what's being called for. And not necessarily the case. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah. And then I think sometimes when it comes to saying no, sometimes you just need to say no, and it's really hard because you would like to do it, but it's just too many things. Like, that's one of the things that, and I've noticed that with some of my coaching clients, like, they come in and they're frustrated because they're tired, and I'm like, okay, I see why you're so tired though. You've got this, and you've got kids, you've got volunteering, you're back in school, you've got this, you've got a husband, you've got this really strong circle of friends, you're trying to work out every day or do yoga. Like, yeah, you're doing a lot. And we kind of live in a society that says we need to be somebody in order to be loved and to be okay and to not to feel bad about ourselves. And sometimes it's just learning how to be like, you know what? Enough. That party sounds really fun, but I've been running and gunning all week and I need a down night. And no, I can't make it. And it's not about that it wouldn't be really fun. And it's not about that there wouldn't be uplifting if you had the people. It's simply timing and it's simply too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Because my experience is with when I used to have a side job, side business back in California doing handyman stuff and maintenance. And, you know, these people would call me and I'd say yes to everything.
Yeah.
And I was so stressed. And when I came up here, I said, you know, if I can, I'm going to not do that anymore. I just want to work my one job.
Right.
And if something comes along every once in a while, then I can say yes and actually be happy about it.
Right.
And it was amazing. First, how weird it was that I had a hard time being at home alone at night. You know, that just having my own time.
Yes.
Because I was so used to working two jobs.
Yes.
And that was one weird thing. And then the second thing was just noticing how much less stress I had. That then I did have more time and I did have more energy to concentrate on the things. You know, that's that whole idea of like, okay, I can half-ass six things or I can do three things really well.
Right.
And I from now on, I'd rather do those three things really well.
Right.
Because, I mean, and part of one of the tools I had to learn was also it's like that whole thing where you sandwich the criticism. You say something good. You're like, okay, I liked what you did here, but I'm not so happy with this. But maybe we can do it like here where it worked well, is also to give options. So if I say no to somebody, I can also make a suggestion. But, hey, maybe you should call so-and-so because they're really good at this or they may have more time than I do.
Right.
Is another thing that makes that it'll take off some of that pressure of saying no.
Right. True. Good point. Good point. I like it. And, you know, good for you that you took off. You stopped. You know, it's nice to have balance. I mean, if you're working two jobs and all you're doing is working, that's not a very balanced life either. Even if you're very fulfilled from your job, it's nice to, you know, one of the affirmations that I got from Workaholics Anonymous actually is I balance my life between work, rest, and play. Like, it's important to have balance and to have different aspects of your life and not just always be doing, going, whether you're getting paid to do it or not. It's nice to have some balance.
Yeah, because,
you know, and it is hard when you get, when you've been out of balance. The same thing happened to me when I stopped working all the time.
Yeah, it's weird, huh?
It's really weird. Yeah. And it's very uncomfortable. And it's, I think, I just because I tend to towards addictive personality traits, like I felt uncomfortable because I was clearly doing all of that moving to avoid feeling.
Yeah.
And being, you know, still.
Yeah. And one of the,
you know, on the couch with my ego sitting right beside me. Just me and my ego.
To bring that around.
Hanging out on the couch. My ego was like, we should be at work, dude.
You know, now I totally understand
what the hell's wrong with you,
where you're coming from, because it's true. I was like how you need to be doing something.
Yeah.
You know,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
Because one of the things though is, as much as I love the money,
yeah,
I also wasn't getting regular exercise.
Right.
I wasn't eating well.
Right.
Because it was always like, okay, I got to run from one thing to the next. So it was fast food. It was, you know,
right. You weren't taking Spanish.
Yeah.
You weren't doing podcasts. You know, you weren't putting time into your significant relationship. I mean, you can't have balance if you're doing something to that extreme all the time.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to do that kind of thing because there's a deadline you had an extra bill that came in that you weren't expecting or your whatever. I mean, certainly things happen, but
well,
to a
that's
certain
why
extent, it's
motivation
nice to,
is just so huge.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
is.
Where
I think,
you're coming
you know,
from.
Where
yeah.
are you coming from? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, one of my former mentors would always ask me anytime I came in with I had a problem or something I wanted to talk about. Oh,
right.
You know, like, well, especially like somebody asked me, you know, what do you think? Should I do this? Well,
right.
well what's your motive?
Right. What's your motive?
What's your motive? Yeah. Why are you doing it or why wouldn't you do it?
Right.
And it's like, oh yeah, okay, what are my motives? Are they selfish? Is it we talked about, is it self-seeking?
Right.
Is it to be useful to others?
Right.
Is it to be useful to others because I want them to like me,
right?
You know, or is it I want to be useful to others because I just want to do it,
right?
Because if it's going to make me feel better,
and there's always a blend of those things. Because truthfully, when you do something nice for other people, even if it does come from a place of health and balance and wellness on your part, it still makes you feel good. So there's still part of it is still self-seeking, like, because I like feeling good and it makes me feel good to help people.
Well, that's where we always talk about that there's
parts
a level
of everything.
Yeah. That there's a level that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's when we take it too far.
Yeah.
You know,
everything out of balance can be. Yeah. Well, the dose makes the poison, right? Sugar's not a great health food, but the dose makes the poison. Like for most people,
salt.
You don't have to try to live a life without anything sweet. In fact, it doesn't work. Our taste buds are wired for sweet.
Mm.
So the dose makes the poison. Do we want to eat, you know, Twinkies morning, noon, and night? Probably not. Maybe just on Easter. Sunday. But, you know, so it's just balance. And it's the same thing with helping people. Like if you're always
you
just helping people for Twinkies on Easter.
Because it's in 2 days. Did Angela just say it's okay for me to do Twinkies all day on Sunday?
I think
yes!
I did.
I'm going to go back to the beginning. Yes!
This might be the time to say no, Hannah.
Come on, motive.
Okay, here's
motive.
Here's the last little, here's the tip since we switched into Easter. So if you're having some Easter bunny Twinkies, if you can, start your day with a nice, healthy, grounded, protein-filled breakfast.
Yes.
And
then
dive into the Easter basket. Yeah, have your hard-boiled eggs. Your organic free range hard boiled eggs first.
Yep.
You know, your colored eggs, and then dive into the candy so that you can try to have somewhat balance. Because I'll tell you one thing, and this is the voice of experience speaking. If you start the day with Twinkies, it's all downhill from there.
So check this
all
out.
Yeah, what is more Twinkies?
So you know, I
I don't actually even eat Twinkies. Yeah. But I don't know where that came from. But chocolate Easter bunnies.
So I slept in today.
Yeah.
Ooh, took the
good.
Dogs for a walk, right?
Good.
And
good.
And I went and grabbed a coffee and grabbed a little munchie. And I got back here and I knew, okay, I got a podcast. I need to go get some lunch first.
Yeah.
So I go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to grab some lunch, but I'm walking past the donut aisle. And I'm just like, ooh.
Were you thinking about Rob?
Ooh, donuts. But I didn't buy any donuts. I bought two turnovers. Okay.
Ooh.
But then I went to the little lunch.
Which is kind of the same
area.
As donuts.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I went to the deli thing and they just had the pork with the spicy mustard and sesame seeds.
Oh.
It's just a
plate
of pork.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got back here and I ate that while I cleaned up.
Yeah.
I didn't even touch the turnovers. So it works.
Wow. Yeah, it does work.
Protein.
Well, and you know, the other thing about it is, and this is completely just back to our regular mind, body, nutrition strategies is give yourself full on permission to have whatever you want for treats on Easter. Try to have some healthy things in addition to, and you'll feel better. And while you're having the treats, try to be there. Like, that's the hard part, especially if we don't fully give ourselves permission. Like, if you want to have crap all day long, then own it, do it, go for it.
Love it.
But
be in it
while you're having it so that you're not feeling guilty. And really don't say, I'm never going to eat chocolate again for the rest of my life, because you are. Dude, there's going to be leftover shit and you're going to eat it on Monday. Don't say you're never going to eat it again, because you're going to, and then slowly wean yourself back off to a regular amount. Because as soon as you start saying, I'm never doing this again, then all you're going to do is you're going to be like, well, I better finish the big old 5-pound Easter bunny now. Because I'm never eating this again. Am I right?
That's
I'm
true.
Right, you know? So just have it and enjoy it. And the other thing is, if you're really truly tasting it, especially if you've had some protein to ground first, you're going to be happy and satisfied with less. Don't make it about having less. Just be there and be with it. And I promise you, you'll want less. It's magic. It's crazy. It's just about being conscious. Because honestly, and they've done studies on this. This is, I think, in that same book, Health at Every Size, although I have like several books going right now, so I could be wrong. But they've done studies on people where they actually told them to have like a bite of their favorite chocolate, right? And they were hungry, and to write down like on a scale of 1 to 20 how delicious it was. And then they had them eat a little bit more, and then like 5 bites in or 10 bites in, they had them rated again. And they were all like, well, it's not as good as it was back at the first bite. Because what happens is we are actually biologically set up to crave wanting things, even sweet things. We have sweet taste buds on our tongue. We want that. And our body's also set up to tell us, I'm good.
Yeah.
If we go slow enough and you're paying attention, like it honestly, we're set up. That's why if you're sitting down to eat a pizza, the first piece is so good. Oh my God, it's so great. And honestly, by the last piece, you're like, yeah, I don't even want the rest of it.
So
because
stop.
Your body's done and your body's, that's what's happening. Like your body has a desire to eat, a desire to have taste, a desire to feel that fullness so that we stay alive on planet Earth, like we need to eat. And then it also has natural built-in mechanisms that say, good, I'm all good.
So just to cap off our episode today, if we're listening to ourselves, we'll know when to say yes.
And we'll know when to
say no. And
nice.
next week, we're actually going to talk about how we can do that by being present.
Being present.
And having tools about being present.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about meditation.
Very cool.
Being present. And then I think the following week we should put it on you to, what do you think of this? Let's do one of those.
What do you think of that? That sounds great.
There is a blog up this week to go along with this, and it's called Yes, 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 Sign Me Up. And then
good one.
The blog next week is going to be called No, Thank You Anyway, but that one's not done yet. So there's going to be two blogs to go along with this podcast, one of which is done and one of which is not. And then we will also have, I wrote a blog last week about presence, if you want to go backwards and read that to get warmed up for next week's fun-filled, awesome podcast episode.
And where do they find that?
Find that at goingtoangelas.com. It's very exciting. There's a little tab at the top that says blog podcast. It's very professional. I'm very excited about it. I'm like all grown up, a little gym owner that has a really real website. And you can find me at Angela's Gym on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yes, and Instagram, Angela, your yes or no pictures.
Oh, yes. That would be awesome. Especially over Easter Sunday. Let's all say what we're doing. That would be really fun.
And you can also tweet me at Idahano.
I have to get some bunny ears for the wiener dogs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see some. Yeah.
I was looking through my Instagram posts. Well, first of all, I follow a bunch of yogis on Instagram, and they've got all these beautiful yoga poses. Okay. So I'm going to be a yoga teacher in about a month. And so I'm looking, and then I'm looking through my Instagram feed, and there's a few pictures of the gym, and then there's all these pictures of the dachshunds. Okay.
We need to
balance this out with some workout pictures and maybe a picture of us podcasting and maybe I should do that.
I loved yesterday when you're just like, yeah, I got like all these yoga pictures and these friends that are doing yoga stuff. And then I've got these friends that are putting up pictures of the beer that they're drinking.
Oh yeah. That's Tony. He's on my Instagram feed. So yeah, I've got all these yogis and then I've got like this awesome beer shot or this awesome like
dudes with beards drinking beer.
Yeah.
It's just going to be so good.
This is perfect. This is a good blend. This is exactly who I am. I am a person of balance and both sides. Oh yeah, let's do that one. It's even better. All right. We're going to start right now with doing more work. More work. Instagram photos. All right, you guys, thanks for listening.
Thanks. See you next week. Bye.